This is Like Mind, Like Body, a podcast about the surprising ways our thoughts and feelings impact our physical health. I'm your host, Laura Sago, and on each episode, I will interview researchers, physicians, and ordinary people who have incredible stories to tell about the power of the mind-body connection. This podcast is brought to you by Curable, an app that helps you heal chronic pain through evidence-based techniques and pain science education. You can download Curable on the Apple App Store, in Google Play, or go use it for free at our website, www.curablehealth.com. This month, our podcast episodes have a very special focus. It is all about pelvic pain and pelvic floor dysfunction and related conditions. This month is Endometriosis Awareness Month, but along with endometriosis, there are tons of other conditions that do not get talked about very openly or very often. Thousands of people struggle in silence with these conditions, and we want to start opening up the conversation. We want to provide a platform for people's stories to be heard and for hope to occur and for inspiration to occur. So we will be doing two recovery stories from pelvic floor conditions this month, as well as an expert interview with Curable's Scientific Advisory Board member, Evelyn Hecht, a physical therapist who has spent the last 22 years specializing in the pelvic area. On today's show, we bring you a very special recovery story. This one comes from Lori, who has struggled with all sorts of conditions in the pelvic region, including vulvodynia, endometriosis, IBS, and more. You'll hear more about that in her story today. So let's just go ahead and dive right in. Lori, thank you so much for joining us today. I am thrilled for you to get the opportunity to share your story with the world and hopefully help a lot of people whose symptoms are just like yours were, feel very validated and understood, and most importantly, hopeful about what their future could look like. So you've been using Curable for a little while now, and we'll get to your experience with that. But I want to start out with what your symptoms have been like. So how long ago did all of these persistent symptoms in your life begin?
Right. So first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. So I've got endometriosis, which is a condition associated with sort of menstrual cycles and so on, and can be quite extreme pelvic pain, amongst other things. I'd had surgery for it in 2014, but what we think has happened is it's probably caused some scarring. So I had the problem I was dealing with was, or I continue to deal with to some extent, is left side pain, which can be really difficult to sort of sit for any length of time. Lots of problem with digestion because it's all one part of me is very tense and very sort of very uncomfortable. So that's what I came to Curable with, an idea of what I wanted to handle. But I think what I've realized in the process is actually I've been handling chronic pain in some manifestation probably for the best part of 20 years. So it's been a cluster of things, from, you know, from migraines, from period pain to vulvodynia, IBS and tinnitus even at one stage. There's never really been a point in the last 20 years where things have been quiet. And so whereas I had this idea, this one thing that I really wanted to tackle, actually, the reality has been is realizing how much pain has been a prominent part of my life, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And have those symptoms just sort of hopped around, or is it conditions that you have all at once and they're just building on each other and now you have this laundry list of different diagnoses?
Actually, there hasn't been a massive amount of overlap.
Really?
It's generally one thing. Yeah. And that was one of the little things where I started going, oh, hang on a minute. This is interesting. Through doing some of the writing exercises, there was a really interesting one where I had to sit and sort of list things, or what I ended up doing was listing things in a chronological order. And actually where I've kind of been, oh, I'm always ill. which has always been ill, actually sitting down and linking events up and going through one illness or one condition to another, because in, you know, when you're in the thick of it all, it's just this big mess of pain and stress and worry and survival, I think, as well. And actually, a lot of the sort of peripheral things that I've had, like the tinnitus, like IBS, migraines, things like that, have actually, they've come and gone, and one has replaced another. So that was a really key realization for me. The endometriosis is a thing that I have, and that been there through it all, but alongside it, these little passengers along the way
mm-hmm.
have swapped out, and that was a good thing to realize.
Mm-hmm. And thinking back on the 20 years that all of these symptoms have been hopping around your body in one form or another, what limitations have been in place on your life because of all of these symptoms?
Well, I think something that often goes that often gets missed in the sort of the talk about chronic pain is that actually I think 90% of it is management, and it's the way that your life suddenly gets shaped around getting out of bed in the morning and getting through the day and doing the things that you have to do. So much of my life became about what I ate and when I ate and what I, you know, how far I walked or how little walked, or conserving energy as much as I could all the time. So that ended up, I mean, I dropped out of university. That was the big thing for me. I was a really high achiever. I had big expectations on what I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to work abroad, and I just couldn't cope. I was just exhausted all the time, just trying to put one foot in front of the other. So I became quite reclusive. I had a lot of panic attacks. I became scared of my own shadow, really. I was scared of everything. So I think the big changes were just, you know, you can look back with regret and go, oh, there's all these things I really wanted to do and I didn't, because there was no spare energy lying around to be able to do those things. So that's probably the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember any specific low point from that time period?
It's really sad. And again, it was one of those things that in hindsight you go, that was a point where I think the cogs had started turning a bit and realizing just how much of an impact this was having on my life. So I lost one of my really good friends, and something that came about in the conversations that followed his death was how he'd felt that things, that his friends were dropping away, that he wasn't seeing as much of us. And I know that from my side, that was because I wasn't well. Not that I would tell anybody or open up to anybody about how bad things were, but I became aware of cancelling meetings with them and not really realising the impact that was having on them too. And, you know, now looking back and realise that my time with that person was finite. It's really sad to think of the opportunities that we could have had. And I think that was, again, that was another little step in the recovery of going, this is having too much of a say over what I do, and mm-hmm. something has to change. So I think that was a bit of a wake-up call.
Yeah. So, I mean, it usually is in those lowest points that we finally say, okay, that's it. What can I do? Something has to change. Something has to give. And I'm sure you tried tons of things to manage your symptoms. I know that you've been to tons of doctors and obviously had procedures and everything like that. You did eventually find your way to the curable world and the curable app. So how did you find out about curable?
Curable came along at a really interesting point in my life. And so just a bit of context, I've recently had my last session with a counsellor. So I've been meeting with somebody regularly and just talking things through that came out of the Curable app. And we sat down and really sort of wondered really at just how well-timed Curable coming into my life had been. So without going into masses of detail, it was the year running up to that had been a complete change in my life. I'd left my job and I'd become a carer overnight, really, for my grandmother. Mm-hmm. And that forced me to make a lot of realizations about the structures that I built up in my life and the relationships that I had in my life. I spent a lot of time with my family that I hadn't done for a long time, and that really made me see things as an adult. I could see the relationships I had with them very differently as an adult to how I was as a child. And obviously it challenged a lot of the relationships I had with my friends and people around me, because I wasn't there anymore because all my energy was going elsewhere. So actually the year running up to that had been the bottom. I'd hit the bottom. I'd made some incredible realizations about my life. And it was almost like I'd just taken everything out of the box and it was all over the floor. It was great. I knew where the problems were. Had no idea what to do with them. How to put all this back together, how to rebuild. I didn't have a clue. I knew what I knew, but I just didn't know where to go next. And then I was on Facebook and somebody had shared Susan Brown's, I think her partner had written an mm-hmm. article about her recovery from migraines.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I read it, but I just know that I'd seen it and I read the whole thing. And I just identified with it so much, and just the way that he wrote and the way that then she spoke about it. So I went and followed the podcast after that, mm-hmm. because I'd always kind of associated chronic illness with sort of self-pity, and I never wanted pity. And I didn't feel that what I read in her story was pity. It was, you know, somebody who worked really hard and just needed this out of the way now. And I found her immensely believable and identifiable. And so I listened to podcasts and then I got the app, and I never pay for apps. That's not a thing I do. But I signed up and it was just like, this is what I'm going to do now. It was as simple as that. And once I'd done a little bit, a few of the free exercises, it was like, that's it. I love this. I'm doing it. And I don't care what comes of it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it couldn't have come along at a better time for me. It was perfect.
Mm-hmm. So when you originally started out with the Curable program, you know, you mentioned already that you were trying to overcome this endometriosis pain and try to manage that condition specifically. But I know that you ended up having a few unexpected experiences along the way. So tell me about how that unfolded.
Yeah. So I think, like I said before, I had in my head, I have this one specific problem. That is what I'm here to deal with. And none of this is connected to anything else. It's just this one concrete thing that I have to deal with. But in the run up to my operation, so maybe sort of 2013, we'd had an idea that I had endometriosis, but we had to wait for the surgery for diagnosis. So somewhere in between that sort of the year and the run up to the operation, I woke up one day and I had this awful sort of sunburn, burning sensation between my legs. Not an easy thing to talk about,
right.
but it is what it was. You know, we went through all manner of diagnoses. Oh God, maybe it's just thrush to an allergic reaction to everything, really. But it just switched on one day and it stayed. That was it. And I was eventually diagnosed with vulvodynia, which is like an unexplained pain in the vulval area. And really interesting, actually, as someone who's gone through and a lot of time with doctors and all of that, it was fascinating that once I mentioned that it was having an impact on my sex life with my partner, suddenly everybody can't throw enough resources at me. It's really interesting. Yeah. So I think that really reinforced this idea that my pain was irrelevant. The important things were A, that I could have a baby, and B, that I could be a good partner. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I've experienced quite a lot going through sort of the women's health side of medicine, is the pain is you're a woman, you have pain, that's what you deal with. But so that was very interesting. Tried everything. I had creams, I had to buy a whole new set of underwear. I had all manner of hormonal treatments, which made me really unwell at times. And I got to a point and I said, I can't do this anymore. I can't take another tablet. I just can't do it. So I just accepted that that was my lot. I mean, I was going to have this pain, this awful burning pain every day, but I couldn't take any more tablets. So that's what I did. And then, so that wasn't even on my radar, actually, going into the whole curable thing. Because it was normal. That's just something I had.
Right.
It was a normal part of my daily life.
You accepted that you were not going to be able to be intimate. You were not going to be able to wear tights again. You were just going to have to deal with this horrible amount of pain because no one knew what to do with it.
On some level, I kind of accepted that I wasn't even a woman. Honestly, it had gone down to that kind of level of this was such a part of my identity. Now I'm just a failed woman. That's it. It was miserable, but at some point I took control, and it was just the tablets and the side effects and the treatment, they were just creating problems of their own. So, like I said, that wasn't even anywhere in my mind, really, when I was doing the curable stuff. And then I did a writing exercise, and I wish I could remember which one it was, because I've got rid of it now, but possibly the unsent letter. But I had to write about a situation, and something that came up was something that happened to me in that year in the run-up to the operation. And it was, you know, without going into too much detail, it was essentially somebody had overstepped the line, shall we say, Somebody I was quite close to had gone too far with something and had really frightened me. And I was in a very vulnerable position, but being the type of people that many of us are in this program, we just want to please people. So I made them feel better. It's okay. You know, it's fine. And the situation came and went, and everything carried on like it was totally normal. And then kind of really digging into it, I realized just how much it had affected me and actually how blazing angry I was about it. And what I did is I went to the, I didn't know what to do with this. I've never spoken to anybody about it before. Couldn't speak to them. They were still in my life. And I went to the Facebook group and I was terrified. I was so scared. And I'm not sure if people, you know, who responded on that day even realized just the difference they made to my life. But it was just going, I can't get any further because I can't forgive this person. And I don't know what to do with it. I need to set boundaries. I need to do something. But every meditation, every exercise now ends with me hitting the same point. And people came out in their droves, and I had the most insightful, comforting, just the responses from people completely blew my mind. As someone who's never reached out, it was incredible. Mm-hmm. And within about, I was walking down the street about a week later, and I remember stopping in the middle of the street and going, oh my God, it doesn't hurt. It doesn't hurt anymore. It had completely gone. This burning sensation that I'd had for 4 years straight had just gone, and it never came back. So without even thinking about it, something that I didn't even think I could cure just disappeared from my life, and I have nothing. The only variable that changed was curable.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I mean, thank you so much for sharing that. And, you know, I just want to, for anyone who doesn't know exactly what Facebook community you're talking about, it's the Curable community on Facebook, where all of our subscribers can come together and support one another throughout this journey. And I mean, you're so brave for posting your story, because I know that, you know, that wall that you're describing is something so many people on this journey hit, but they're too afraid to talk about because they're too afraid to come to terms with what you came to terms with. You know, the deep, deep feeling of, am I even a woman anymore if I can't do these things? Or how could I possibly move past this experience? How could I possibly forgive this person? It's something that's just so common and so under discussed because folks are afraid to say it to themselves, much less say it out loud to others. And I thought that the response from the rest of the community back to you saying, we see you, we hear you, us too, and yeah. all of us, you, me, everyone here, we are all going to move forward from this. It's just, I have chills just like thinking about it. It's so
beautiful. I'm well enough, honestly, that group is, they're diamonds. They're absolutely diamonds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just everyone is so supportive and positive and encouraging in the whole journey. But now that you have successfully really broken past that barrier and, you know, at least addressed this one area of your life unintentionally, what have things been like since then? What have been the limitations that are removed? How has your life changed?
Well, I hope nobody minds me mentioning it, but I'm now intimate with my partner again for the first time in 4 years. I mean, because that was something that had completely gone. I mean, anyone who's had that those kind of symptoms, it's not something you can just push through. It's awful. So there's big changes like that. It's being able to sit in a meeting for length of time without wriggling, because it's so painful. It was so painful. My temperature, I couldn't regulate my temperature because you just, it was just, I'd get cold very easily. So there were big changes like that. But also, I think just seeing that change and something that I'd taken for granted would always be there, and seeing that just go. It does. I mean, it's changed my mindset about things. I mean, I'm naturally very skeptical. I'm naturally quite scientific in things, and this works. So it's that in itself has made such a difference to my life. I haven't had a migraine either since September. I realized I hadn't taken any migraine medication in 4 months or whatever it was. All these things are dropping off. And I'm in it for the long haul. I know that the problems I've got with endometriosis are structural problems. They might always be there. You know, all the noise is just kind of clearing away, and things are getting better. So it's done immense things for my confidence.
Mm-hmm. And now that you've seen all of these other results from other symptoms you've been dealing with for years, how has that shifted your mindset in terms of how you look at the endometriosis and your relationship to those symptoms?
It's had a really, really positive impact on that. I mean, endometriosis is a structural condition. I mean, I've seen pictures taken of inside my abdomen. I know what it looks like. I know that there's scarring there. I know that there's tissue there. So it's, you'd think in theory that this wouldn't be something that the curable could help, but I'd really argue the opposite, if anything, for a few different reasons. So I'm part of an organization here that campaigns for and advocates for women with health issues in my country. So I speak about this. I speak with a lot of people with endometriosis all the time. And one of the things that I think is really interesting is that there are people who are it's interesting that we have people who are who experience extreme pain throughout their menstruating years, and they are they might go and be seen by a consultant, and they might be operated on in the same way that I am, because at the minute the only way of diagnosing it is through operation, which is ludicrous in itself. I mean, it's mad that that's the only way we can do it, is to be so intrusive, but that's how it is. So we find that women who have extreme pain have an operation and nothing is found. There's nothing there. And conversely, we have women who have no pain really at all, or no significant pain throughout their periods, and find out later on that they're infertile because of endometriosis. Another issue is it's women's health, so it's not well researched still, and that's something that we're campaigning very strongly for. But there seems to be a mismatch at the moment between the observed physical structural manifestation of this illness and the symptoms that you get on the back of it. So in my head, I divorce the two. I have period pain, and that's the problem that I'm managing, mm-hmm. Which is linked to a condition called endometriosis. So the hope that I have in this is that just because I have the condition and that's been observed, that doesn't mean that I have to be in as much pain as I am. There are plenty of women who don't have the pain. And unless we open up every woman to see what's inside them, and I use the term woman, but you know what I mean? So people menstruate, unless we open up everybody and take a tally of exactly who's got scarring and who's got adhesions and who has pain, we're never really going to know exactly what the correlation is between the two. So the question I ask myself when I'm having really bad days, which I still get every month, is do I need to be in as much pain as I'm in right now? And often the answer is no. I mean, I know I'm on my period. I know all this. I don't need all these signals. It doesn't need to be as bad. So I kind of hold on to that. And I say that with caution because I know that often with a diagnosis of endometriosis or any kind of women's health issue or something quite intimate like that, often women have gone through years and years and years of being told that they're melodramatic. This is all in their heads. This is just a woman's lot. Mm-hmm. I'm cautious that it's a difficult message to say to people, just entertain the idea that it doesn't need to be this bad. Mm-hmm. Because I've been through that process. I know how awful it is to be sat in a GP's office and sort of being tapped on the knee and just said, oh, but you know, you're a woman, this is what you've got. I think we have to really sort of be encouraged by the fact that the way that this the pain and the symptoms manifest themselves are so different across people, that there's wiggle room there. There's wiggle room, and that's where I focus all the curable knowledge that I've got to just go, does it need to be as bad as it feels right now? And I'm convinced that, I mean, I'm in this for the long haul. This is a lifestyle change for me. It's not just a treatment or something. This is something that's going to be in my life indefinitely. And I know that I'm going to get better, and I know that I'm going to have a better quality of life. So it's, for me, it's just a case of carrying on doing what I'm doing and taking the positives that I've seen in other sides of my life, and just I'll get there. Mm-hmm. That's it.
And it's worth pointing out that, like you said, there are many women's health conditions that are very under-researched just because of the bias in medicine. However, because of conditions that are perhaps more well-researched, we have information that structural issues do not always correlate with physical pain. Let's take back pain, for example. That's a topic that's highly researched because it disproportionately affects men, and it disproportionately affects folks who are out in the workforce doing labor. Therefore, companies have a large incentive to want to figure out how to treat back pain. So it's an area that's been very well researched for a long time. And what we've found in that area is that MRIs, imaging results that show structural damage, you can see that your spine is all messed up, that your discs are slipped, that things are out of place, and that damage does not have any reliable correlation with the pain symptoms that people report experiencing in that area. So while someone might say, I have pain, let's get my back imaged and see what's going on there, and they might very well see that they have a slipped disc, that does not mean that the two are related, because doctors, this has been found in study after study, can look at a set of images of backs, and they cannot reliably predict by looking at those images who experiences pain and who does not. And we have no information to tell us whether that is also the case for endometriosis. We don't, because we just don't have all of the research information right now. But entertaining the possibility that that could be the case for other conditions with real structural issues that you can see and you know are just gonna stay there, it's a hopeful way to look at things, knowing that just don't have the answers. There's no way to say, yes, that's definitely the case with endometriosis, but there's no way to say it's definitely not.
Yeah. And that's where my hope is. And I appreciate that it's a traumatic journey, and I would totally respect people that didn't want to see it that way. And I've been there, but this is something I wanted to come on to really, which is that, so how I see the app and how I see its place in my life. So something that's really frightening when you've got a chronic condition of any sort, I imagine, is that you don't get to speak to your doctor every day. You don't have that support network from your doctor every day. You can't ring your doctor up on lunch and have a cry because this hurts, or the medicine that they gave you has made you sick.
Yeah.
Or, you don't have that. So you have the bits that I've, the part of the whole journey I found really, really hard is building up to an appointment that might be, even with a consultant, 20 minutes long at most. You make decisions, and then maybe you're given medication, maybe you're taken off medication, but either way, something changes in that appointment, and then you're sent out into the world. And you have to get through the next day. You still have to do the food shop. You still have to go into work. You still have to pick up the kids. Whatever it is you need to do still needs to happen. But you do that without you don't have the doctor there with you to keep you through that. And this is where I think Curable is filling a huge gap in the medical system at the minute, in my view, which is giving you the daily support network, whether that's through the exercises in the app or whether that's through dipping into the Facebook group and just going, I am having a really rotten day. This has happened. What do you think? And that's genuinely, I think that's been the biggest part for me, especially if you've got sort of underlying anxiety issues or any, stress as well, is you're not on your own. You're not thrown out, you're not thrown out the other side of that GP office, and you just wait until the next 6 weeks or 6 months or whatever until you see them again. You've got something daily that you can touch base with that keeps you afloat, and that has been lacking in a lot of other things that I've done. I mean, other meditation apps and things like this. This is a structure. This is a plan. This is a network of people, and that's been so powerful. And above everything else, has been probably the best side of it for me. I never feel alone ever. Mm-hmm. So
that's amazing. I love that. So just closing up here, what advice do you have for anyone who's listening right now and who just sees themselves in your story but is maybe at the very beginning, feeling a little lost, having overturned the box and seeing everything laid out in front of them but having no idea what to do with it?
Do you know what? You've got nothing to lose. The great thing about this is it's not this massive expense for starters. It's not paying to see somebody and paying a big whack of money up front for someone to treat something. It has no bad side effects other than, bringing things to the front. So maybe you need a bit of support with that side of things. But essentially, you've got nothing to lose by doing this. And it can go alongside the other things if that's what makes you comfortable. I mentioned I saw a therapist, or a counsellor, we'd say here, alongside this, because the things that came out of the writing exercises needed to go somewhere, and I needed somebody to bounce that off with that was impartial and would just listen and would just provide me with tissues. So I don't think that anybody has anything to lose by doing this. If you've got here, I mean, we've done it all, haven't we? We've done diets, we've done the exercises, we've done everything, and there's so much guilt that comes with that about not doing it right, or, oh, well, the reason I'm ill today is because I ate that bit of chocolate yesterday, or I went to that dance. There's so much guilt wrapped up with a lot of the treatments that we follow. And I think, we just have to just give it a go. Just give it a try and relax into it. Don't expect, this isn't magic. Nobody's going to read out the exact combination of words that's going to set a magic spell in your head or anything. This is a commitment and it's comforting. And you know what? If the very least, if all this does for you is makes you feel a little bit calmer or a little bit less stressed, that's massive. And I don't think that that will be all you get from it. But just think of the difference. Just the tiny differences will make to your life. Something is better today than it was yesterday. And the app will make you really focus on that. And I just say, just give it a try.
That's wonderful advice. Well, thank you so much for joining us and for sharing your story.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Thanks for listening to Like Mind, Like Body. If anything you heard in Lowry's story today resonated with you, then you should definitely give Curable a try. You can download it on the Apple App Store, in Google Play, or find more information at our website, curablehealth.com. That's curablehealth.com. That's all for today. We've got more pelvic stories coming your way soon, so stay tuned. Bye-bye.